following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
We're going to continue this morning in our Shift series. If you were here over the last couple of weeks, you know that Shift was the theme that our students encountered at CHIC, the youth conference held this summer in Knoxville, Tennessee. And so as a church family, we're going to continue to engage in this theme through our sermon series, through small group Bible studies, and also through Friday Night Live. Not only is Shift a great way for all of us as a church family to connect with this incredible experience that our teens had at CHIC, it's a way for all of us to be praying and to be working towards our breakthrough event on November 6th and 7th. And those 2 days we'll spend as a church family discovering, dreaming, designing, and delivering as we seek to follow God's plan for us as a church. And so this language of Shift is not necessarily the language of huge, sweeping changes, but perhaps just as importantly, small changes that are vitally important. I think about, you know, maybe a gear shifter, right? It's not a shift that takes the engine out and puts a new engine in. It's a shift that helps the engine do the work more efficiently based on the current conditions. I think about the shift key on a keyboard. It doesn't change the whole letter. It characterizes the letter in order to make the message clearer. Or perhaps with the incredible success that the Blue Jays have had recently, a baseball example is most helpful. For certain batters, the fielders shift their location to be better prepared to react to where the ball is hit. It's not a complete overhaul of the defense, but a repositioning of where players are so that they can best be used. So these little shifts from one gear to another, shifting to the position of a defense in baseball, hitting the shift key to capitalize a letter can have huge implications, and they can mean immense things and are vitally important. And so the shifts that we're talking about as a church family in this series are similar. Perhaps they're just little shifts in our day-to-day, but they're vitally important in our walk with Jesus and to the way that we are serving God. Last week, we began this series with the need to shift our relationship with God. We talked about what it means to be attached to the one true vine, Jesus Christ, and that to truly be attached to that one true vine, we need to detach ourselves from the other vines in our life that have taken priority, the vines of money, of power, of success, popularity, comfortability, and more. And then once we're truly attached to the true vine of Jesus Christ, we must allow God to work on pruning us, cleansing us continually, cutting away the bad and pruning the good so that it becomes great. And great not for ourselves, but for God's glory. And we'll see in the remaining 5 weeks of this Shift series that some of that pruning work that God is doing, as we look at shifts that we need to make in various areas of our lives. Today, that means looking at the need to shift our relationship with other people. We're going to look at a passage from Philippians, and we'll work on unpacking what God is teaching us through His Word about how we interact with one another. So I'll invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 18. And as you are turning there, let me pray for us, and we can get started. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day. We're thankful for who You are, and that You are in control. Lord, speak to us through Your Word this morning, and let us there meet Your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. So Philippians 2, verses 1 to 18. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purposes. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Paul talks about the need to shift your relationship with other people. People. God has been using people since the beginning to do his work in the world. And it has been people, not just a person, largely. Moses had Aaron, Abraham had Sarah, Mary had Joseph, the disciples had one another. People, groups of people, are the unique creation of the Almighty Creator. People are beautiful and flawed, and the community is what God has created for his glory. Though at times people can be frustrating and challenging and confusing, we need one another. This past Monday, I was part of a club-level Toastmasters competition called Table Topics. So the idea is, for Table Topics, and we practice these in theory every week. Certain people are called upon each week to do it. You're given a question, and then you stand up in front of the whole group, and you talk about it for 2 minutes. You have maybe 5-10 seconds to think, but the idea is to be thinking on your feet so that you can learn to articulate yourself on the go and become a better, just impromptu speaker. It's not my favorite thing to do. There's maybe 3 or 4 people in our club for whom it's their favorite thing. But I also know that it's a very important thing and a good thing for me to practice. And so Monday was no exception. I got an email when I was away from the guy who was chairing the competition, begging for contestants because nobody wanted to participate in this contest. And he said, I only have a couple of people, will you please do it? And he did the flattery, oh, you're so good at it, you're such a natural at it. No, and I knew full well he was lying, but I bought anyway. And so I participated in this competition. I didn't do particularly well, and I was fine with that. There are some incredible speakers there. But I walked into the room, and the question that was read to me that I had to think on my feet and then have 2 minutes to answer was, you just found out you were the last man on earth. What did you do first? You just found out you were the last man on earth. What did you do first? So I thought for a second, and I answered. It wasn't a great answer. I had kind of gone into the idea thinking that I was going to talk about Posey, my puppy, and so that's the direction that it took. It wasn't great. It wasn't profound. It wasn't particularly insightful, but I had to have kind of something in mind to go in there with. But to be honest, now with nearly a week to think about it, I'm not sure that I'd come up with a better answer than I would be devastated. I would be devastated to learn that I was the last man on earth. And that's because people are a really important part of my life. I'm a husband, I'm a son, I'm an uncle, I'm a pastor, I'm a coach, I'm a friend, I'm an extrovert. All of those things really necessitate having other people around. And even if you were not an extrovert, other people form a huge part of who you are on a day-to-day basis as well. You have coworkers, you have friends, you have family. I can't imagine life without other people. And fortunately, God didn't allow that to happen for very long. Shortly after creating Adam, God created Eve, because God saw that it was not good for Adam to be alone. And so, as much as we can find those times when people are frustrating, it's pretty hard to argue with God there. We're meant to live and be in community with others. It was part of who we are created to be from the very beginning. And the other part that goes back nearly to the beginning that we have to grapple with, however, is that we are flawed. People are not perfect. And so living and being in community is a challenge. It's a huge challenge, and a challenge that Paul knows full well. And so he helps us unpack it here for us. Paul talks about the importance that relationships play in living out Jesus' call on our lives, the importance they play in interacting with fellow Christians and in sharing the good news of Jesus with others. The way we treat people, whether it's family or coworkers, teammates, or other folks from church, has a lot to say about the way we hear what Jesus calls us to, and the way we are exemplifying or not the love and comfort and compassion and tenderness that comes from Jesus. I find the way that Paul starts off this letter to the Philippians really interesting. He leads off this chapter with almost a rhetorical question. It's these if statements. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from his love, if you have any common sharing in the Spirit, if you have any tenderness and compassion. But Paul isn't really wondering about these. There's no if in Paul's mind. He's sure that these are the things that this community is experiencing. He's sure because these are the natural outpourings of a relationship with Jesus. Paul himself has felt these things. Paul himself celebrated these things. Paul expected then that the Philippians would also, as they grew in relationship with Jesus. And Paul, being himself, naturally wants to share in this joy. He wants to celebrate this joy. And he will even have his own joy completed by seeing that the Philippians continue to grow together in love and in spirit and in mind. I'm really inspired by the way Paul's joy is so wrapped up in seeing the churches that he has relationships with grow deeper in Christ. Though he doesn't talk about it this way, I find that the way Paul talks about his joy and his joy being complete through the success and the growth of the Philippian church is a huge testament to the humility that he encourages in the following verses. Paul places the Philippians above himself. He allows their growth, their joy, to complete his own. I don't know that there's anything in my everyday life that's quite like the role of Paul. Quite like the role Paul played with the Philippian church and the other churches he spent time with. I don't know that there's anything quite like that in most of our lives. Paul brought the gospel, he taught, he preached, he encouraged, he challenged, he helped churches begin, and then he left them to head to the next place to continue doing the work that he was called to. And it's not as though he was able to get these up-to-the-minute reports. No one was emailing him. No one was tweeting him. No one was posting on Facebook about what was happening as he headed to the next city, to the next church, to the next community. There was a lot of time and space from the moment Paul left until he heard more, and even longer until he was able to give words of encouragement or rebuke or challenge to help the community shift the way that it was headed. But still, through that space and through that time and distance, Paul was so invested in these churches. He was so excited by what Jesus was doing in these communities that their success completed his own joy. It was successes that certainly Paul had a hand in, though Paul would humbly give all the glory to God and Jesus who worked and spoke through him. But largely, they were success and growth that Paul helped lead the community towards and then had to watch as they succeeded and as they failed from a distance. And now Paul was urging the Philippians towards a new success, a success that continues to be a challenge for all of us today, the challenges of humility and of unity. Through the rest of this passage, Paul gives some important guidelines in unity and issues a challenge to embrace the humility that was shown to us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those are high standards to live up to, having the same mindset as Jesus Christ. But Paul hits on something that I believe is a huge challenge for myself and really for most Christians. In verse 6, Paul writes, "Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage." Boy, I struggle with that. I struggle with not seeing myself as better because of even having a relationship with Jesus. I struggle at times at looking down on other folks around me who don't know Jesus yet. I consider myself more important, more together, more whole, and can have this poor you mentality that if my thoughts were expressed out loud would probably come across condescending and even patronizing. I like to pretend my feelings or my thoughts are thoughts of concern or desire to share the gospel. But when I stop and think about it, I know they're not much different from when I see a group of people throwing a frisbee poorly, or the guy in the swimming lane next to me attempting a far from perfect butterfly stroke. The thought is, oh, yikes, I am so much better than that. Have you ever had that experience? Whether it's something that you know you do well, or something that you see another person doing really poorly? Probably, right? My hope is that I don't come across as condescending or patronizing when I am with folks who don't throw a frisbee as well as I do, or whose swim strokes are far from perfect. But I really have to wonder. I'm usually careful about my words, but I know it's possible that just the attitude I have, my own mindset, is making me come across negatively as all high and mighty in these situations. Terry picked me up because Erica's down in Yelm at the women's retreat, and on the way over, we were talking about a TV show, The Dog Whisperer, and how incredible it is that dogs can sense a person's feelings or their attitude just as they walk into a room. If someone comes into a room really high-strung and all stressed out, the dog will certainly sense that and kind of be on edge, very differently than if someone were to come into a room relaxed and comfortable and at ease. Both Terry and I talked about how people can be much the same way. Whether we recognize it immediately or not, the way we are thinking about someone will come through in our posture, in our tone, in our language, even if we choose our words carefully. And people will feel that lack of comfort. So as Paul says here, mindset is key, having the same mindset as Jesus. And that mindset will determine the way we see one another, the way we talk to one another, the value we place on one another. And Paul makes it very clear that our mindset needs to be the same as Christ's. The same humility, the same servant attitude. And that humility and service comes from God's overwhelming love for people and his desire to have a relationship with all people. So much so that he sent his son Jesus to die. That's the mindset that we are to model our own after. That's the value we are meant to place on the lives of everyone we talk to, everyone we encounter, everyone, period. The mindset that Jesus Christ loves you just as much as he loves me. With that as our initial thought as we enter into a conversation or into a relationship with another person, Jesus can't help but shine through. Jesus' love will shine through if our posture towards another person is that they are valued just as much as we are. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Paul goes on to finish this section, encouraging unity within the body of believers, unity in Jesus Christ, unity that maintains even when Paul is not there, even more so when Paul is not there. The community is able to hold one another to the challenge that Paul issues to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, have the responsibility to hold one another accountable to that challenge. So for this morning, I want you to think of one person, just one person that you need to shift your mindset with, one person that you need to shift your relationship with, the way that you're seeing them, the way that you're viewing them, so that you now see them and view them the way Jesus sees them, as a beloved child of the one true God. Is there someone that you have been thinking yourself better than? Someone you have been pushing beneath you, consciously perhaps, but more likely subconsciously? What would it look like for you to elevate that person above you, to place that person over you, to humble yourself to serving that one person? I don't know what that looks like in your life today, but you do. And so I challenge you to pray about and identify that person and listen to what God is telling you you need to do to shift that relationship. Holy God, you love us more than anything, more than we can possibly imagine. Lord, forgive us for exalting ourselves above others because we know your love. Instead, Lord, help us to have the same mindset as your son Jesus, who humbled himself. Lord, help us to see all people as you see them, as your beloved children, and allow that to shape the way we act and speak each and every day. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.